I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. At the end of the year, you always find yourself listening to talk shows that do retrospectives on news stories that had a major impact on the country. A lot of the times we hear about what was overreported, what was underreported. There are a lot of omissions, people doing predictions, a lot of premonitions. People remote view the future, all these things. And tonight, well, we don't need to remote view. Nor do we need to make any predictions because it seems that it's all being written out for us. It's obvious what's going on here. It's obvious what's happening in this country and what the stories that are surrounding the main story are. The most underreported story or the story that's obvious to me that needs to be touched but never is touched by the mainstream media. And I said in the last hour exactly what that story is. And that story is that the NSA has a list of enemies. They're compiling a list of enemies. They've had all this time with their surveillance and everything else, they've had all this time to create this list. And the reason why I know this, and the reason why I think this is the story that's more important, is because of the surprise I got when I was listening to radio shows and I heard about Justice Leon's decision with regard to the Fourth Amendment and the NSA spying and whether or not it was against the Fourth Amendment. Well, what surprised me is that the reporters and everyone that was doing the story had stated that there would be appeal. There would be an appeals process. The Justice Department had stated that the ruling was way out there. Like the Constitution is a way out there idea. And I'm thinking the statement that a judge rebuking unconstitutional moves by the National Security Agency being way out there pretty much describes the mentality of our elected government now. And that is by itself an indication of the criminality that exists and persists in a country that ignores the obvious malfeasance that, if left unchecked, will throw us headlong into despotism, which I think we're there now. It's just that no one will have the fortitude to step forward and say, hey, that's where we are. Because the media has demonstrated over time that they really don't approach stories about government dealings with objectivity or skepticism. And we are now looking at important things we've reported in the past that are being overlooked, that are not being presented. But with all of the, I guess you could say, ill-informed, people out there that want to push certain agendas and the stylized misinformation matrix, it's hard to find or narrow down what the story is that is the most underreported. The obvious story, and that is that the NSA has an enemies list. They're compiling it. And they don't want you to know it. I mean, it's obvious to me because you have the NDAA that won't die. You have Obamacare being another arm of the surveillance state where it's medical surveillance. We've seen people being executed in public because they blow checkpoints or they don't want to be swabbed or have their blood taken from their bodies or anything else that appears to be like in a, I guess you could call it, Stalinist Russia. I decided that it would be important at this time to bring a journalist on that I really respect. He's an independent journalist and he's in Japan and he has a way of be on the outside looking in and report things as they are. A lot of brilliance comes from this man. And when I have him on, it's such an honor. We have James Corbett from the Corbett Report with us tonight. We welcome to the show. James, welcome to Ground Zero.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Clyde. It's always a pleasure to be here talking to you and your informed audience.
We were discussing this, and I'm going to bring it forward to you now, is that I believe that the story that is obvious to us, to many people who are working in this independent journalism, or at least the ones that are trying to bring honest journalism to radio and to the internet, is that it's obvious to me that with all of these rulings where we have a judge who's found his constitutional conscience being ridiculed by the Justice Department, and we're seeing just because he's a conservative lawyer going after the Obama or the NSA spying, the obvious story, I think, that is not being reported in the news right now is that the NSA has an enemies list. And that is the bottom line. I mean, we have plenty of people like Snowden and Bradley Manning and others that are already on that enemies list. But now American citizens themselves will be on that list. Do you agree with that?
I agree completely, and I think we can go a lot further in terms of really defining who is on this enemies list, who are really the enemies of not just the NSA, but I would say of the shadow government that really operates under the veil of national security and which has been growing and gaining power over the past six decades now, since the end of the Second World War and the establishment of the National Security State under the National Security Act of 1947. And I think we can really narrow it down to a few main sources that are, I think, really the key enemies of this shadow government and the ones that they're clearly aiming the apparatus of this intelligence monstrosity at. And one of the first and main uses, I think, of this NSA spying grid, this panopticon system by which they're spying on all electronic communications, is corporate espionage. That is one of the main things that this is used for, and we actually have very specific examples of how this has been used in the past. So the National Security Agency, of course, is supposedly looking out for terror threats from around the world, and what are these dastardly terrorists and other, you know, evil actors from abroad are doing, and what they're plotting against America. But for some reason or another, back in the early 1990s, the NSA was turning its powers to intercept the communications between Airbus and the Saudi Arabian National Airline. They were in negotiations for a multi-billion dollar contract. And in 1994, the NSA said, hey, look, we've been spying on these we've intercepted some of these communications. Sorry, not spying, of course. And right. It turns out, it looks like these Airbus officials were bribing these Saudi officials. And that looks like, it doesn't look like a fair process. And wouldn't you know it, Airbus lost the deal, and McDonnell Douglas, now part of Boeing, won the deal, a $6 billion deal to provide aircraft for the Saudi Arabian National Airlines. So score one for the American side, I guess, on that one. We have a lot of other examples. We had the CIA caught eavesdropping on Toyota and Nissan for the benefit of American car manufacturers. We had the NSA spying on the Belgian telecom provider, Belgicom. Mm-hmm. We've seen all sorts of deals like this going on in the past, where the NSA and the CIA and these other apparatus of the intelligence agencies just happen to be benefiting the American corporations and at the expense of other corporations around the world. So that's one of the things that this is aimed at, but that's not particularly important, I guess, to the average American.
Right. Yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh.
I think one of the other key targets of this is whistleblowers from within the system. This system is used to spy on communications, including, of course, the communications of whistleblowers who are getting set to or going to blow the whistle on the system itself. And this happens in lots of different ways. So, I mean, let's cast our mind back to something like Elliot Spitzer, who was, of course, the attorney general there in New York and was prosecuting a lot of high-profile cases and turning on the heat. And when he started to turn the heat up on the finance, basically on Wall Street, and saying, hey, look at these shady housing deals they're doing and all of these crazy deals that they're doing that don't make any sense, I think we might need to start an investigation. Wouldn't you know it, lo and behold, suddenly the FBI swoop in and suddenly they know all about the high-priced escorts he's been seeing for years. I wonder where they got the intelligence on that from. We see this happening from time to time, where someone in a position to actually do something starts an investigation, starts looking into a certain area, and all of a sudden, whoa, wouldn't you know it, there's all this intelligence on what they've been doing behind the scenes. So I think this is another way that this information is being wielded. And then the final way that I think there's definitely an enemy here, and they are being targeted, and it's politicians themselves and military generals. People on the inside of the system are being blanket targeted, and we know this specifically because of NSA whistleblower Russ Tice, who's one of the other NSA whistleblowers. He's not often talked about when it comes to this because people are so fascinated with Snowden, but Russ Tice came out earlier this year, and he was talking about how he had the actual wiretap orders. They were wiretapping all sorts of generals and high-ranking congressmen, the heads of congressional committees, and a little-known senator from Illinois named Barack Obama. This was back in 2004, 2005, that time frame. So mm-hmm. They are spying on everything that the politicians are doing. Again, I think to keep track on what's going down, and if anyone's going to put a stop to this or what they're doing behind the scenes, they'll know about it well in advance.
That's a reason why I did bring up, too, in the last hour, that when a president sends pink slips to 200 senior officers in the military, That should send up a red flag that the president has something on these officers. When General Petraeus, when we had that drama with General Petraeus and all of his colleagues, and then, of course, others were being corralled up and fired or asked to resign, people were saying, well, maybe there was a major coup against the Obama administration. Well, maybe not. Maybe that they were using this spying and wiretapping to kind of weed out people that are not loyal to their leader, and that this is what we see, and that the enemies list are those who will become pretty much they're being labeled enemies of the state only because of the fact that they're rebelling against the Leviathan government and the police state. And this has been going on, and you bring up Elliot Spitzer, which, of course, we go back to the, I guess we call it the wiretapping that George W. Bush was implementing, and they asked him if they felt it was constitutional or unconstitutional. There was a struggle there, but no one really wanted to defy the rule of the president of that time because of the war on terror. Now it's become sport to say, oh, this is all Barack Obama's fault. But the truth is Barack Obama has continued the process. This is why it angers a lot of people, because they voted for a president that was going to abolish all of this. But instead, he espoused all of it. And now it seems to be getting worse on his watch. And no one really knows why. But that that most certainly is a good way to tie the first steps, or at least connect all the dots in this first segment. James Corbett with us tonight on Ground Zero of the Corbett Report. If you have any questions for James, numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Report to you the obvious story of 2013 that was ignored and probably will continue with us into 2014, that the NSA has an enemies list. That's why we're seeing all of these movements, and it could wind up being a lot bigger than just spying on American citizens. 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. James Corbett is with us tonight on Ground Zero. So glad to have him on the program discussing, I think, the most important story of 2013, and that is the NSA has an enemies list. That won't be a headline in the paper, because it's obvious that this is what is happening. And as we were discussing in the last segment, that a lot of this was first used for corporate espionage and also corporate investigating and also wiretapping and implementing people in all kinds of crimes. You know, James, when you brought that up, the first thing that came to mind was the idea of Mussolini's definition of fascism, which, of course, is corporatism in a lot of respects. Would you say that these are the first steps in our dystopia of creating a form of corporatism and the threat that you could be exposed with any skeleton that may be in the closet?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the first steps. I would say it's probably some of the final steps towards the consolidation of total control under that corporatist umbrella. And it's important to understand that this isn't talking about corporations, just talking about business in general. This is talking about the corporatocracy, which really are these monopolists who just are trying to consolidate as much power as possible. And they will use any and every vehicle at their disposal to do so, whether it's the big corporations or the big government or the combination of both. And I think we can probably tie it all back to the banking establishment, which, by the way, is, of course, just in the next couple of days celebrating its 100th anniversary in the United States with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. So I think that kind of ties into what we're talking about, since so much of the intelligence establishment was founded by and for and the benefit of Wall Street bankers and lawyers. So that ties it all together, I think. And I think you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, this is corporatism, and this is what it looks like, and this is how it acts.
I would say that, you know, a lot of people have said that I've avoided talking about the banks. I've avoided talking about the Federal Reserve. In fact, the first story that I kicked off in 2013 was the anniversary of the Federal Reserve, that how the banks are part of the problem, and how they finance both sides in wars. They're behind corporate control, all of these other things. And I think that people forget that is the base of all this, conspiracy, if you call it that, is that men conspire in order to have the full spectrum control of power. And that regardless of what demon you think is behind it all, whether it's the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers, or whether or not secret meetings go on in Bilderberg or Bohemian Grove or wherever, we do know that there is a cryptocracy. And we do know that the cryptocracy is showing itself, and they're getting to the point where they're arrogant about showing itself. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's part of the revelation of the method, and they're trying to expose themselves to, I think, normalize this power structure and to get it welded into place, to really hardwire it into place. And it's interesting. I mean, I think the greatest conspiracy that's ever been perpetrated on the public is the conspiracy to convince people that great powers and people who are powerful don't conspire with each other behind the scenes. That's conspiracy theory, don't you know? So I think just the implanting of that term in our everyday parlance so that people won't even look into those issues is probably the greatest conspiracy that's ever been perpetrated.
Well, the biggest writ of conspiracy is the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. It was a framed intended conspiracy against the king. And therefore, if America is a great conspiracy, if the idea of America itself was an illegal conspiracy, then who's to say that there are other illegal conspiracies to bring down this experiment and to foment the idea of a democratic dictatorship, or even worse, one that is a dystopian dictatorship that is based on some model that where human rights are violated, but yet we still make all the money and redistribute the wealth. And it's a form of some crazed, I don't know if you can call it communism or you can call it state socialism, but it most certainly seems to be opening. We seem to be opening the dialogue for this thing, and many people don't realize that they are participating in this type of thing.
Well, I'll one-up you. It's not just that the Founding Fathers were conspirators themselves, which they were. They were conspiring against the king, but they were also conspiracy theorists because they had this wacky, crazy conspiracy theory idea that King George was actually out to get the American colonies and to drain it of its wealth. So they wrote all these documents trying to convince people for decades and decades. They were trying to convince people, look at this. It's not a system in our favor, and we are not benefiting from this, and they're really trying to plunder our wealth. And eventually they managed to convince enough people that there was a conspiracy happening that people joined the conspiracy theorists and joined on the side of the revolution. So we do have examples of this in our past, but it's interesting how those examples get twisted in the history textbooks so that aspect of it doesn't get talked about anymore.
Oh, if we only had the magic of the forefathers, if we could make a writing and say, look at this, this is happening, it's right in front of you, there is a enemies list, and you may be on that enemies list, you may be targeted, you may have your phone tapped, and yet questioning the idea of a judge who says, hey, doing this is unconstitutional, and having the media go, well, wait a minute, that theory is right out there with all the other nonsense theories. And I'm thinking, you know, when did we ever get to a point in America where we're arguing the validity of the Fourth Amendment? We've already rejected the Fifth Amendment. I mean, we're looking, as I said before, and we may want to get into this after the break because the break's coming up really soon. But the NDAA is something, the National Defense Authorization Act, it refuses to die. And the American people have not been told that the NDAA specifically targets them and that the act will be responsible for giving new powers to the Department of Defense, which was once called the Department of War. And I'd like for you to comment on that, James, because I think that this needs to be shown that the police state is inevitable and all-encompassing with the National Defense Authorization Act. And this is something else that adds to the, I guess you could call it the conspiracy theory or the most underreported story of the year, and that is that the NSA does have a enemies list. James Corbett's with us tonight on Ground Zero discussing this. I selected this as the story of the year that doesn't get reported, but it is the obvious. And I think that it's right there in plain sight. And that's what makes it so fascinating and all the more compelling. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More with James Corbett and your calls coming up on Ground Zero. We'll be back.
Well, perhaps, but this has been this way for a while. And the polarized electorate means that any president of either party is going to have a phalanx of people who are adherents of the other party who are not going to like him no matter what he does. So you begin with a sort of a base.
Set by a lower federal court for the Supreme Court to weigh in on the legality of the NSA snooping on phone records. Federal judge is calling the NSA bulk collection of phone records a violation of the amendment to the Constitution.
He found the NSA program to be rather demonstrably and clearly unconstitutional.
Jonathan Turley, law professor, George Washington University Law School. Plaintiff who won the suit.
Yeah, we are not the Soviet Union or Russia. We are the United States.
Well,
pause for a moment and reflect on this very thoughtfully. You can actually cause the consumer to forget something he has previously learned by putting into his head a newer and stronger concept.
My penis
my buttocks?
You can actually remove an advertising story from his memory. And in its place, you can substitute one of your own.
Hey, man, how can I become a distributor of this stuff? I said, you guys are going to make a fortune with this product. I want to get involved.
As we see a larger and larger share of the consumer's brain market.
There's no less like home.
We are not the Soviet Union or Russia. We are the United States.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. Tonight we are uncovering what the probably the most underreported story is, the obvious story, and that is the NSA is compiling a enemies list. And that is what I think the story should be, that should be the big story of the year, because it just seemed to me that I did more stories about surveillance state, police state, this year than I did on anything else, because it just seems to me all points to the idea that there seems to be this list that is being made, this list that Obama and all of his buddies are making there with the NSA. And the reason why I was convinced of this is because the other day I posted something on my Facebook page. It was talking about the National Defense Authorization Act and that it refuses to die, and that the American people have not been told that the NDAA specifically targets them, and the act will be responsible for giving new powers to Department of Defense, giving more reason to believe the police state is inevitable and all-encompassing. 2014 could be the year of the admitted democratic dictatorship, as if it is not apparent now, this cold dystopia is chilling patriots that are already awake. The totalitarian state has now shed its brown shirts and armbands for business suits and has dressed up its enforcement arm in military fatigues and has equipped them with military ordnance and vehicles that scream overreach. And yet there will be Americans that will defend the state of battlefield America. Of course, when it's shown that people who are gunned down during routine traffic stops appear to be akin to extrajudicial assassinations and negates due process, there are frightened Americans who will say that it's justified to send a no-tolerance message to criminals. That is, if it is a criminal act to blow a checkpoint if they're swabbing you and getting your DNA. The NDAA justifies actually public executions and removes any and all questions of due process. The elimination of habeas corpus is another thing you need to understand, that that's when American citizens can be jailed indefinitely without trial. There's also the NDAA provision for the requirement of internment camps, where once again we bring back the idea of the KBR FEMA camps and whether or not it's going to be it's not going to be that new. I mean, they're going to be rounding people up eventually. James Corbett with me tonight on Ground Zero from the Corbett Report. New World next week. He's all over the internet. Remarkable reporter. I just, the NDAA, when it was, when it seems to be, it keeps being revived, even though the American people, many Americans know that this is the writ of totalitarianism. What would you say is hidden in this, I guess you could call it act that will eventually be law, that you think is the most dangerous?
Well, if we're talking about the NDAA specifically, of course, we're talking about the provision that allows the U.S. government to detain any citizen, any person, American citizen or not, anywhere in the world, including on American soil, for any reason whatsoever, and to hold them indefinitely. A pretty stunning piece of legislation. But of course, it was part of the National Defense Authorization Act, which, as its name implies, is part of the funding for the Pentagon generally for the year. So if you just slip in a little bit of just a little clause, then you can get that passed pretty easily. And that's exactly what happened. So, of course, that was signed into law back in 2012 by Obama and his robo-signing pen. And for people who are incredulous about the use of this, of course, we do know it's been mainstream news for over a year and a half now, although still very few people actually talk about it. But the New York Times reported back in May 2012 about Obama's secret kill list. Literally every Tuesday, he has a counterterrorism meeting with a couple dozen of his security officials in the White House, where they go over a list of names of people who are on this list for assassination by the United States without any due process, anything that would be guaranteed under law. And we know that this doesn't just apply to foreigners. I mean, that's one thing, but it also applies to American citizens as well. And in fact, has been used to assassinate American citizens. Not only Anwar al-Awlaki, who the narrative, at any rate, is that he was this Yemeni, an actual U.S. citizen, but he was a Yemeni living in Yemen at the time of his assassination and was trying to incite violence against the United States. I think there's a lot more to the Anwar al-Awlaki story, including the time that he spent at the Pentagon being wined and dined by Pentagon's top brass in the wake of 9/11. But even disregarding that, even if he was this dastardly terrorist, not only himself, but his 16-year-old son were killed in drone strikes. A 16-year-old son who, by the way, was a U.S. citizen, killed as part of this assassination program. So we know that this is on the books. We know it is being used. It is even being used to kill American citizens without any sort of due process, without any sort of trial. They can and will kill anyone anywhere in the world that is on this list that they decide it's time to strike against. And on that very note, there's an interesting angle to this, specifically with regards to the NSA. If you want to, I know your audience is up for this. If you want to drill down, there's another layer to this conspiracy, speaking specifically about the NSA and the U.S. assassination program.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it was interesting that I didn't bring this up, but it's something that needs to be brought up, especially with you here, and the fact that, you know, this is something that's right up our alley. When we're talking about executions, judiciary executions, or the idea of due process being eliminated with the idea of cops executing people in public, I just thought I would let you know that Miriam Carey, the woman that was shot in Washington, D.C., it's been about 2.5 months since her shooting. And after it was demanded that police issue a report on what exactly happened, they have decided not to. And they feel that they have legal precedent not to, because of these provisions, because of the idea that they don't have to present probable cause. And in fact, there's actually, and if you, this is what I find interesting, is that a liberal journalist, because everybody's saying that this was justified because it was under the Obama, it was under the nose of Obama, but a liberal journalist now, who is a former board member of the American Civil Liberties Union, has stated for the record that he believes the police murdered Miriam Carey, and that across party lines, there are a number of lawyers who are now stating that she was executed, and that the idea that the police has have decided not to issue a report, and it's basically thrown a rag into the judicial system to get a fair trial as to who was at fault and what was going on. And it just seems to me that that a lot of, I guess you could call police officers and other people observed this, said that Miriam Carey should have been arrested, not executed. And they're wondering if it had something to do with the idea that a number of these, I guess, officers are being programmed every day to believe that everyone is a terrorist, and that you need to act on as if they're terrorists, and that we throw out due process. What do you think of that?
Unfortunately, that's exactly what's going on. And hey, another example of this, let's look back earlier this year, Michael Hastings, huge story, big reporter who had who's reporting in Rolling Stone back in 2010, was responsible for the downfall of General David Petraeus. And sorry, not Petraeus. I'm going to forget which general he brought down in Afghanistan with his reporting. But fast forward, McChrystal. And he comes forward a couple of years later and he tells all of his cohorts and people behind the scenes he's working on a big story that has to do with the NSA. And he says he's going to have to lay low because the FBI are after him. Within hours of sending that email out to his close friends, he ends up dying in a fiery car crash in all sorts of suspicious circumstances. People can look into it. But just one aspect of that, you had Richard Clark, the former counterterrorism advisor, coming out just a couple of weeks after that in an article in the Huffington Post, of all places, saying, a lot of states, including the United States, has the ability to hack into cars and to make it so that they can control the car from the outside. And you'd never be able to know that that's the case. And he was saying this specifically with regards to the Michael Hastings story and how that could have been an example of someone hacking into his car. Pretty amazing series of events there. But of course, that's just been swept under the rug with a lot of these other stories.
Well, there are a lot of questions that are being raised about Hastings and what happened, really, whether or not he was eliminated or suicided, if you will. Obama himself said that whistleblowers are his enemies. That a lot of independent, he actually cited Reddit as a place on a no BuzzFeed. I think BuzzFeed and Reddit were actually mentioned when the president was talking about who he didn't like. Another thing I wanted to bring up about the Miriam Carey case is that the questions that are being actually the case itself has not been it will not be released. Apparently they're saying that this is what is being said about the case, that she really didn't ram the White House gate. She didn't do anything illegal into police until she was being pursued by police. Then she started committing illegal acts like evading police officers. They're wondering why they didn't taser her to try and apprehend her without lethal force. We already covered this, but the police should have, or why didn't they shoot the tires instead of shooting into the car? And then the excuse of a explosive device does not apply, because if she did have an explosive device, she could have detonated the device as police were shooting at her. And, it's also once again, under, I guess, deep scrutiny about whether or not she was mentally unhinged. The media reported she was. But that was based on records that were dug up in her medical records. Thank you, Obamacare. That was way in the past that she didn't seem mentally unhinged by many of her friends. They don't know why they shot her at all. Although people now say, well, she rammed a White House gate. She evaded police. She broke all the laws. And now we're hearing that no laws were broken. The only time laws were broken is when she tried to evade police. And there was no bomb, there was nothing. So the excuses that the police gave are not adding up. And yet the report does not get released to the public, nor will it be released to the courts. And the reason why is because they're covering this with NDAA, or at least extrajudiciary assassinations, which is kind of bizarre.
Yeah, exactly right. And another big story we could add to that, February of this year, Christopher Dorner, who is, of course, on the run and gets cornered, and we get and the fire starts and consumes him and kills him, and we're asked to believe that that was accidental or he said it himself. But then, of course, the police scanners come out, and they're having the conversation. We're going to go forward with the plan with the burn, and that gets recorded and put on YouTube and everywhere else, and they don't even really bother to offer an explanation for it. They just pretty much killed the man outright.
Yeah, they did. We're going to see more of this because of the NDAA, and they're going to use that as extrajudiciary assassinations if they feel they're an enemy or a danger, and they can make up the danger even if the danger doesn't exist. And I have said this before on this program and immediately was excoriated because they say that I'm anti-police because I say this. No, I'm pro-Fifth Amendment. I'm pro-Fourth Amendment. I think that we need to have due process. I think we need these things in our being utilized in the courts. And I think that the judge's decision to say that the whole NSA situation is a Fourth Amendment violation is a remarkable blow to what is going on. It may not mean much, but to us, it is the first steps towards revealing the truth. And the truth is that they are flaunting or flouting along with the law, and they're making laws and changing laws, and it's to the whim of whatever Barack Obama says or whatever his henchmen say. 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. James Corbett with us tonight on Ground Zero. We'll be back. James Corbett's my guest tonight on Ground Zero, the Corbett Report. New World next week. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I want to squeeze a call in here right now. Let's go to Michelle calling in from Texas, KLVI. You're on with James Corbett. Go ahead.
Well, thank you both, and it's an honor. I've been listening to you, Clyde, for quite a while, and Mr. Corbett, you are awesome. I was actually calling in at the very beginning of the show. I didn't know you were going to be on tonight to discuss the IPCC. Fantastic how let's throw away all the pertinent information and come up with climate control reports. Have y'all talked about that tonight?
What about the climate lies? Is that what you're talking about, ClimateGate?
Yes, it is amazing. I just don't see how nobody is reporting about this on the news at all. Well, we know why, but it's shocking, I guess.
Well, I've been angry about it. What about, and James, I know that you've been talking about this for some time, and you've expressed it better than me. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm with you on that. The IPCC, the fifth assessment report, is starting to come out now, and we've gotten the first section of that. And although they're now kind of having to admit that, oh, yes, this whole global warming phenomenon has been on hold for the last 16, 17 years, but that's only because now the oceans ate the warming. It's all in the oceans, and it's going to come back eventually. And all of this this craziness, I think, I honestly think that this entire idea is on the run right now. But unfortunately, a cornered enemy is sometimes the most dangerous. So I think we have to be on the lookout for more propaganda on this front.
Right.
Oh, I agree. I think it seems like the media just puts out more and more things for us, and then we have to counter with actual truth. And of course, convincing people that they have been lied to is harder than just telling them what's going on. And I think if we take a stance more on, you know, actually, instead of trying to counteract their horrible lies and just come out with our own reports and, you know, go the old fashioned way, send stuff in the mail. Do they still have the post office running, or did they run out of money too?
I don't know. I think, though, that we are seeing more and more reports. We're originating reports, and James has been originating reports, definitely exposing how they're changing their tune. But as I've said before, the whole global warming climate change idea is based on global resource management. It's the idea of resource depletion and the idea that the untold report that's buried in all of the climate change rhetoric is the idea of cull, the idea of reducing population, the idea of reducing carbon footprint to the point of, you know, just doing the right thing and throwing yourself on your sword and dying for the cause. It seems that everything that they produce is fatalistic and death fetishist. I mean, the latest commercial they show of Santa Claus basically looking like he's dying appeals to children. It frightens children, and it gives them more reason to be sick and twisted. There have been many reports that they've done.
They should have just showed Santa Torso. That has scared everybody,
yes.
Right?
Santa Torso, you're right. Michelle, thank you so much for calling. Oh, we're out of time, Michelle. I'm sorry. I really appreciate you calling in.
Off air. Okay.
Okay. I thank you for the call, Michelle. Take care. James Corbett with us tonight on Ground Zero, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Most shows give you retrospectives on the stories that they think or have been either underreported or overreported. I'm giving you the obvious story of the year that probably won't make the headlines, and that is the NSA has an enemies list. And this is the reason why everything is happening the way it's happening. This is why preparedness is going into provisions for saving bullets, checkpoints, increased police when they find themselves in areas with MRAPs and everything. This type of force is being increased. It's all because they know that they're not going to be able to hide it from you much longer, and there will be people that will resort to rebellion or civil unrest, and this is what they're preparing for. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. I guess you could leave it to our crew and our guest tonight, James Corbett, to go against the grain a little bit. When you see a number of news organizations and maybe some of the other independent sources that you may follow give their ideas of what the most underreported story is or what the top story that's been avoided by the mainstream media is, I think we've set the standard here by stating that the most underreported story, or the story that's most obvious, the most people, I think, in 2013 need to remember, and how this is going to carry over into 2014, is that the NSA is compiling a list of enemies. That's why we have the wiretapping. That's why we have the focus on Obamacare for medical surveillance. That's why we're beefing up police forces. That's why we're hearing that the NDAA, that hasn't died. That's why we'll be seeing hearing more about things like FEMA KBR camps, because under the National Emergency Centers Establishment Act and the provision in the NDAA, which is that's another part of the NDAA, it says the internment camps can be used to meet other appropriate needs as determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security. And that the FEMA KBR internment camps are part of the continuity of government, which is called the COG, which would be put in place in case of martial law. Now, they've already planned on this. This has already been written out. The internment camps are intended to protect the government against its citizenry by locking up protesters as well as political activists who might challenge the legitimacy of the administration's national security, economic, or military agenda. So it's already written out for you, and it's not being talked about in any headline or any mainstream narrative. This is an unprecedented assault on American liberty, and yet no one is courageous enough in the mainstream media to report or make valid analysis about how there are many things being proposed that are harming the country. What inspired me to bring this up, when I realized that this was the headline, that this is the one that I want you to remember, that the NSA is compiling an enemies list, it was because of the fact that when Judge Leon made his decision regarding the unconstitutional wiretapping in this country, the NSA's unconstitutional wiretapping in this country, and it was met by the media as a judgment that is, quote, way out there. And when the plaintiffs complained that we are not Soviet Russia, I went, there are the key phrases. Give a listen to this CBS report.
Is it constitutional? The stage has been set by a lower federal court for the Supreme Court to weigh in on the legality of the NSA snooping on phone records.
Federal judge is calling the NSA bulk collection of phone records a violation of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution.
He found the NSA program to be rather demonstrably and clearly unconstitutional.
Jonathan Turley, law professor, George Washington University Law School, the plaintiff who brought the suit.
Yeah, we are not the Soviet Union or Russia. We are the United States.
Ultra-conservative Larry Klayman's suit is class action, includes a dozen mostly high-tech communications corporations. The judge holding his decision until an appeal. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
James Corbett is with us tonight on Ground Zero. And, you know, I guess the biggest frustration I have, James, is that here in this country, the threat of our way of life goes beyond political trappings of taking sides, getting involved with the push-button offenses that are manufactured by political pundits. And I just see here that, you know, we have someone like Klayman coming forward and making these complaints. He was also involved in the Clinton exposure, or at least the impeachment proceedings of Bill Clinton. And I'm wondering if this is going to gain if this is going to gain legs, and if we're going to be seeing perhaps the threat of impeachment on Obama in the next year. What do you say to that?
Well, in one way, I would say I certainly hope we do. Just given the scale of the criminality that's been exposed here, one would hope there'd be some consequences. But at the end of the day, I think we also have to ask whether that would be a consequence that actually matters. I mean, even Clinton comes out and says that his impeachment was, in fact, actually, in the end, a good thing for him and his legacy. And I think his approval ratings since he left office have shown that he's still one of the most popular presidents in living memory, for whatever reason. So maybe the impeachment isn't all that much of an obstacle. But I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, last hour, when you were talking about how, I mean, Bush was doing the exact same thing under his administration, and Obama's doing it now, even though he came in specifically saying he was going to put an end to all of this warrantless wiretapping and all of this. Of course, he's just continued and expanded it. And it really brings up the point, I think the underlying point, this isn't Democrat, this isn't Republican, this isn't about Bush, this isn't about Obama. This is about this shadow government that is really puppeteering this from behind the scenes. And unfortunately, there's no constitutional provision in place for impeaching the shadow government, which, of course, is not a part of the constitutional power structure. It's that thing that sits outside of the Constitution and just sits over top of the government and is wielding power from behind the scenes. And it's a question of how we shine the light on that and how we get rid of it.
I guess the key element here is to identify the cryptocracy. The key element here is to expose the shadow government and realize that if we expose the shadow government as being the puppeteer in all this, that we will not be jeopardizing our political affiliations if we stand up for things that are vital for our country's, for actually our country, and how we can continue to survive and keep pushing for the survival of liberty and constitutional law. I just found it completely out of line to have people question this judge's conscience when he was looking at the Constitution. And I'm thinking, when in America did we find the Constitution to be questioned, especially when the Fourth Amendment stands? No searches or seizures or wiretapping or any of these things. Maybe we do need to put a provision there for wiretapping and electronic harassment, because it just seems to me that this whole idea of electronic harassment has also been in the news kind of silently. We've heard people say, well, the Navy shooter started shooting because he heard voices. Miriam Carey heard voices. She felt that she was wiretapped, or at least being spied upon by Barack Obama. I mean, we've heard these stories countless times, and people dismiss them as just lunacy. But, you know, we do have the technology, and obviously we have the technology to wiretap, plus we have the technology to harass, don't you think?
Of course we do. I mean, of course this is this exists, and it's now being introduced to the public step by step. And we see that through all sorts of different things. Of course, one of the ways that always works is to introduce technology via Hollywood. And it's interesting to see movies like Minority Report get cited again and again and again and again because of the technology that was in that report that suddenly, imagine that, now a few years later, we actually have this technology. And they keep introducing little bits and pieces to the public through that, or through advertising, the billboards that can beam advertisements directly into your ear, so that to anyone else it looks like you're just hearing things, but of course you are actually hearing whatever they're beaming into your ear. I mean, all of these crazy technologies actually exist, and they are being introduced to the public little by little, but imagine how much more they have under that veil of national security. And we talk about how crazy it is that now the government and the media is coming out and saying that this ruling, that this is all unconstitutional, is way out there. But it gets even worse. Actually, Foreign Policy just had an editorial from a professor at Tufts University who got to spend the day at NSA headquarters in Fort Meade. And he reported that one of the NSA officials was talking about how he was so mad at the media for misreporting and misleading the American people about what's going on, that he said that he hoped the Obama administration would crack down on reporters. And the direct quote is, "I have some reforms for the First Amendment," which is a pretty chilling, terrifying thing to be hearing from someone who is obviously part of this cryptocracy.
Are we losing the battle or are we winning the battle? I mean, this judge's decision looks like a win, but when you have a group of people who are apologists for the totalitarian regime, which is the Obama administration, are we seeing a win or are we seeing a lose here?
I guess time will tell, but I'm not exactly holding my breath that this judge's ruling is going to be the final word on the matter. Obviously, it's going to be appealed and it's going to go into that court process. And even at the end of the day, even apparently there is a high-ranking White House panel that's now coming out and urging reform to government surveillance. But even if they do come out with some mealy-mouthed platitudes about reforming the system, I mean, what do we really know? What do you and I and the average person out there really know about what's going on behind that veil of national security? We have to take their word for it that they are implementing changes, that they have, that we do know everything that they're doing, and that it's all going to be somehow scrutinized and kept check on by the Congress people, who often don't even know what's going on behind their own backs, as has been proven again by this scandal. So are we just going to take their word for it when they come out and say that reforms have been implemented, or are we going to actually do something about it? And in fact, there are a lot of ideas on the table for specifically how people who are concerned about this can get involved. I was just talking on my podcast about the idea of nullification, which is an exciting idea to literally turn the taps off on the NSA data center, which is receiving water from the state of Utah. And that's under a public contract that can be rescinded if, for example, the people in Utah get behind legislation to literally turn the taps off, stop the water supply to the NSA data center so they literally can't run the data center anymore. I think we need to start looking at solutions like this that will hopefully literally turn the power off and turn the water off and turn the utilities off on these corrupt government agencies that are completely out of control.
I was just going to bring up the data center, that we're looking about these platitudes, as you say, as they're saying, well, we're going to look into reforming this. We're going to look into what is really happening. But, you know, they're not going to turn that billion, trillion or whatever, zeros you can count for this major intelligence city that they've created in Bluffdale, Utah. I mean, it's huge. It's probably more secure than Area 51, and they're not going to tear it down or turn it into a huge mega mall for Mormon mothers to shop in. So I really don't think that we have a case to say that this is going to go away anytime soon, especially when they're paying that much money to monitor internet, telephone, and everything else that's going on in this country. James Corbett with us tonight on Ground Zero, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700, as we reveal the most obvious story underreported, and that is that the NSA is creating an enemies list. You may be on it. In fact, many of us are on it. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Your phone call's coming up. Don't go away. We'll be back. So we've declared what the top story is, and of course, I've been talking with many of my producers, and they're saying that, of course, there are variations on a theme. I know that, Snowden was debated on whether or not Snowden should grace the covers of Time as the most influential person of the year. That didn't happen. I'm sure that would have gotten a lot of anger. But what about those who are behind the leaks, behind those journalists that we have heard about. Jeremy Scahill, also Glenn Greenwald. And, of course, now we're hearing that Laura Poitras is actually going to be working on a project called the Journalism Project. And I'm just curious, James, whether or not we should look at these journalists as heroes, or are they actually not heroes? Are they actually kind of getting fueled, or at least they're not actually doing this for, I guess you could say, pure reasons? They have other things behind them?
Well, unfortunately, I think we always have to be wary of putting anyone on a pedestal and putting anyone in that position of hero, because very few human beings could ever live up to that. And unfortunately, I think that's the case when we start to look at the whole situation around how this has been reported from the very beginning. I mean, not only do we have the fact that we still, to this day, we have no idea how many documents there are in this cache that Edward Snowden seemingly managed to take out from under the nose of the NSA. Anything from 10,000 to 1.7 million documents has been told so far. The editor of The Guardian was just saying that they have, in the entire time they've been reporting on this, the last 6-7 months, they have published about 1% of the documents that they have in their possession. And with every single story, they all times they cooperate and coordinate with the NSA and GCHQ before publishing anything. So that should give us an idea of what it is that we're seeing and perhaps what it is we're not seeing in these documents. And another disturbing aspect of this, specifically to do with this enemies list, assassination list idea and the NSA, at the end of September, Scahill and Greenwald came out at a press conference in Rio de Janeiro, and they were saying that they were working on a big story about how the NSA cooperates with the U.S. assassination program and how their data feeds into that assassination program. They were saying it's blockbuster news. We're working on this story right now. 2 weeks later, Greenwald announces that he's getting involved in this new journalism venture with eBay founder and billionaire Pierre Omidyar. And he's dropping a cool $250 million on a new journalism venture that's going to be headed up by Greenwald and Scahill and Poitras. And lo and behold, since that moment, we haven't heard anything, and I mean anything, about this big assassination story. And it really does raise some alarm bells, specifically because Pierre Omidyar, of course, the co-founder of eBay, he's the chair, he's the principal shareholder in eBay. He is also, of course, one of the principals at PayPal, which is the child company of eBay, which has not only a co-founder who has explicitly said he is pro-NSA, that he's enthusiastically a supporter of the NSA, and not only have we had Greenwald himself come out and say he has no doubt that PayPal cooperates with the NSA, which kind of makes the whole Omidyar connection a little bit eyebrow-raising. But there's also someone on the Omidyar Network, which is one of Omidyar's ventures, who is also a board member at Booz Allen Hamilton, which is Edward Snowden's former employer. So this raises all sorts of red flags and questions that no one out there that I've seen in the alternative media other than Sibel Edmonds at BoilingFrogsPost.com is really raising right now. But these are questions that I think we need to be asking before we start putting these people on pedestals and worshiping them as heroes.
Didn't Pierre Omidyar recently state that we will be cashless within the next 2 years, or maybe even sooner than that?
I didn't see that quote, but it wouldn't surprise me from someone who's involved with eBay and PayPal. So I find that a bit worrying, and I just question the motives of someone like that dropping $250 million, $250 million on some new journalism venture, and suddenly all of these leaks and these documents, so they're not coming out at the same pace they were, and who knows what's kept under lock and key that we're not apparently allowed to see because Snowden apparently gave it all to Greenwald to do with as he pleases.
Isn't Poitras isn't she a filmmaker or a film writer? I don't know much about her.
Yeah, she's a documentary filmmaker, and Greenwald was a lawyer who became a blogger who became a journalist. So they have some different vectors that they're coming at this from, and maybe that's a good thing. I mean, why do we need established credentialed journalists to do this work? But I'm just very, very nervous about the fact that supposedly, at least according to the official story as we're being told, all of the documents now reside with Greenwald and Poitras, and they're the only ones with the access to this full stash, or so they say. And who knows what to believe in this case, because again, all of this information is really coming through intermediaries. We don't have any direct access to Snowden to know what his intentions are. I mean, even if we can believe the story about Snowden and how he got these documents, I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to be careful about, because we have to keep in mind that intelligence agencies lie to the public all the time. That's part of their reason for existing. That's part of what they do. They've been caught many, many, many times in the past doing all sorts of psychological operations and hangouts. And I mean, it's been reported since the 1970s about Operation Mockingbird and how the CIA owns everyone who's anyone in the media industry, according to CIA officials themselves. So again, we have to think of this as a three-dimensional chess game and realize that the pieces aren't just moving at us from the front or back or sides. They're coming from up and down and every direction. And we have to question everything that we hear about in this story, because again, we don't have access to these documents ourselves.
That is so true. And when you have the guardians of the documents being people who have connections to many of the people that we're trying to expose, we wonder exactly, you know, where they fall, where everything falls, where, like you say, where the chess pieces are moved, where they lie. James Corbett with us tonight. A very important show for everyone. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700 as we explore the most obvious story of the year, and that is that the NSA has an enemies list, and that's what they're compiling now. They don't want to tell you, but they certainly want to make laws and make put forth ideas and somehow own the information so that you only get part of it. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
Ever reasonable to restrict constitutional freedoms in the name of fighting terrorism?
In our opinion, no.
And now the plain truth. The government at times tells you lies. The deception is historic and continuous. The government needs to be exposed because it cannot be trusted to expose itself. We live in exciting and fearful times. Most of you today are not afraid of big crime or big business or big labor. Rather, most of us are most afraid of big government.
All right, folks, there is a lot going on right now. Decisions being made that are unprecedented and will have an overreaching impact on what it means to live in the United States of America.
Who could want a government that punishes people for speech, that lets its own agents write their own search warrants, that fights wars just to keep the military-industrial complex busy, that debases all you own by printing worthless money and putting it into the stream of commerce, that gives away more than half the tax dollars it collects, and that, despite express provisions in the Constitution to the contrary, permits the president to lock up whoever he wants and to throw away the key.
There may be a number of people who cannot be prosecuted for past crimes. In some cases, because evidence may be tainted. But who nonetheless pose a threat to the security of the United States.
The FEMA plans to imprison American citizens have generated a lot of interest around the country in locating the potential prison camps throughout the country.
For all the cruelty and hardship of our world, we are not mere prisoners of fate.
But there are a lot of people who just have no clue, no idea. You know, of course, we all know about the FEMA camps that don't exist. Of course they do. They're disaster relief centers, according to, you know, their names. People, when they get hungry and they're unprepared, they're going to flock to these camps.
We are not mere prisoners of fate.
Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, the compelling argument for the top story of 2013, or the most underreported story, that it's the most obvious story, especially for Ground Zero, and that is the NSA has an enemies list. They're compiling it now, and everything points to the idea that this is happening. And James Corbett, my guest tonight on Ground Zero, we're discussing this. We've gone into all aspects of the leaks, Snowden, many people behind the scenes, the NDAA, all these provisions that are in play. We're seeing extrajudiciary executions. We have a judge that's ruled that all of this is unconstitutional, and yet the media comes back with the idea that the whole idea is out there. The challenge that it doesn't challenge the Fourth Amendment, which is exactly demonstrating how the media is once again covering and apologizing for the criminality of the government. We go to Leanne in Maine now, listening on WVQM on Ground Zero. You're on with James Corbett. Go ahead.
Hi, Clyde, and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas.
I heard a retired colonel on one of our East Coast talk stations say, oh, they just happen to come to their seniority all at once. There's no big deal about having all these people retire from the military. It's not a big deal at all. It's just a routine thing. And I thought, routine? Huh? Oh, good grief. And it turned out that this guy originally had voted for Obama.
Yeah, well, that's 200. Like it's that. 200 senior officers that have been asked to either resign or have been given pink slips by the president. And they think that's normal?
That's a bit much for me.
What's that?
No, it's not. It's a bit much.
It is a bit much. And it makes you wonder what, you know, they had or what they were doing. And a lot of people say that all has ties to Benghazi and told to stand down orders and this type of thing. We'll never know because many of these stories are being covered up and are being ignored by the media. And I think 2013 would go down as the time, wouldn't you think, James, that the media was pretty much gagged, or they've taken the opportunity to gag themselves with the, well, it can go all the way back to Boston, the Boston bombing. And of course, if we want to go back a year, we're observing Sandy Hook, where the media was told to shut up. What would you say to that, James?
I think the writing has been on the wall for a long time for any reporters who actually do want to talk about anything that's going on behind the scenes. And I think the Michael Hastings story earlier this year is another example of that. I think when we're looking at these retiring generals and all of these suspensions and pink slips and all of this that's going on right now, we should probably look at another story that came out earlier this year about the missing nuclear warheads that were apparently on their way to South Carolina. And somehow went missing. And then, lo and behold, just after that story broke in the alternative media, the second highest ranking nuclear commander in the U.S. was suspended. So, again, almost zero mention of that in the mainstream. But that sounds like a pretty important story.
Yes. And also the radioactive material was stolen from a delivery truck at the border. That's another story that has been buried. They said, you know, you put that story out there long enough for the seeds of fear to set in. People can speculate. Any conspiracy theorist can speculate about what's happening. But what we're seeing is a lot of things that are pointing to the idea that there are plans being made by normal citizens or even people in high ranking positions in the government and in the military. That there are plans being made and that the NSA is making their plans as well. That this is, you know, and I hate to say this, but it sounds like a civil conflict. And it's like what happened in the Dirty War when you're looking at Argentina and Operation Condor, where the military was plotting against military officials, where the juntas were fighting against the police officers. And it all turned into a huge war, a civil war, where children were being killed and people were being disappeared. And most of them were journalists. So, I mean, this is how it begins, and I think that people need to be aware of this.
This is frightening.
Well, Leanne, I appreciate the call. I thank you so much for calling tonight. Take care.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's go to Rick in New York, listening on WOR. Rick, you're on Ground Zero with James Corbett. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Clyde. How are you doing? Happy holidays to both you and James. I'm just taking my gloves off. I was doing the dishes.
Okay.
At any rate, I wanted to say something with something you just said in mind when you closed for your last break. You said they want ownership, but they don't want you to know about it. Earlier, James said they typically lie over and over again. Well, I just wanted to say, as a modus operandi, what they do is if they, you know, if you want to control something and someone catches you, the people that you're controlling, what do? You throw them a bone, something that is a little partial truth that quells the thing and puts it down, and then you can go on to manipulating them again. Mm-hmm. They did that with Roswell. They're doing it with Kennedy now. I just want to throw something into the mix and have you guys ask yourself something. I got this. The source for what I'm about to tell you came from CNN. I forget whether it was Anderson Cooper, the one with blonde hair that looked like him, but they were throwing out when this whole thing with Edward Snowden came down. Edward Snowden, in my book, he's not a hero. I would call him a patriot.
Right.
I look at myself as a loyal American, and I believe in this country 100%, and I believe more in the people of this country than in the government, the present government as I see it. But things have been going over the years, and everybody's seen it. You know, you have to ask yourself, what is going on? This thing with Edward Snowden blowing the whistle, 20 years ago, somebody who was in R&D for one of the major companies, I don't know whether it was Hewlett-Packard or IBM, told me that all computers that are on the market to get the licensing, whatever they need to produce them, have to have a viable back door. So the minute computers were able to be hooked into phone lines 20 years ago, the personal information that was in those computers was able to be tapped and looked at. And I don't know, but I believe they did. But you have to ask yourself this. What the source for what I'm about to say came from CNN, as I said. When they talked about this whole thing with Snowden, you know, the NSA is building a storage facility in Utah right now, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That facility, when it's up and running, in conjunction with the one that already exists in Maryland where the headquarters are, the storage capabilities of the of that those two units is the following. It's able to store not bits of information, but pages of information, like 8.5 by 11 typewriter pages of information. It can store 500 quadrillion pages. Now, most people can't grasp that. I majored in math in college, and I have a good feeling for numbers. So 500 quadrillion is, I think it's 5 with 20 zeros behind it. But as they said on CNN, if you took a page, Clyde, you know, like an 8.5 by 11 typewriter page, I could put on there name Clyde Lewis, sibling such and such, went to elementary school here, junior high school here, college education there, vocational. I could put a pretty good dossier of you or anybody else in the world on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. This thing can store 500 quadrillion pieces of paper like that. Now, what does that mean? Not laying the papers end to end like making a yellow brick road, but like you're putting them on top of each other, like you're making a book report, you know,
mm-hmm.
like a phone book, you know, page on top of a page.
Yeah.
500 quadrillion pages, just to give you an idea of how big that is, would make a pile, if they would typewrite a page, pieces of paper, piled on top of each other, like a phone book, it would be a pile that would stretch from the Earth to the Moon and back again 66 million times. I'll say that again. From the Earth to the Moon and back again 66 million times. Now, you think about that and you say, what couldn't they store? The possibility of every single word and every single conversation, including the present conversation that's going on between me and the radio station, everything that everybody says on the phone or their cell phones, since they had cell phones, could be easily stored on that, as well as everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're building something with that big a capacity, ask yourself, why do they have to build something with that big a capacity? Why do they need that? What aren't they storing? I believe what they have said, even the present actions, I mean, what Edward Snowden did, he was like the nut in the gears, you know. That wasn't supposed to happen. That happened. Now, all of a sudden, they have to do something. So this whole thing with the court case, and Obama's going to decide what parts of the court case he's going to allow or disallow, whatever. This is all to quell it. This is the bone they throw the general public.
Well, we can even go one step further than that, because I was interviewing NSA whistleblower Russ Tice on CorbettReport.com earlier this year, and he was talking about an interesting segment that aired on CNN very briefly earlier this year. They were talking about the Boston Marathon bombing, and they had an FBI counterterror agent, Tim Clemente, on to talk about what was going on with the investigation, and he kind of let it slip that the FBI can access any phone call that's been made in recent years, and they have complete records of that. It's not just metadata. They're storing all the phone calls. When Russ Tice heard that on CNN, he got together with some of his NSA, ex-NSA buddies, and they came to the conclusion that data center is already up and running. It is collecting information, and it is storing every single phone call as we speak. It's already happening, and they're just telling the public that it's not online yet. And further to that that document you were talking about, the back door to all the telecommunications equipment, that was the CALEA Act of 1994, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. You can go look it up online. It is mandated to have a back door in every telecom device.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. About 20 years ago, this went through, he told me.
You are the man, Rick.
And you know, but you just got to think about it. When you think about the capability and how vast it is, then it's pretty obvious, isn't it, what they're doing?
Of course. I mean, they're mounting,
what aren't they doing?
They're mounting a case against every American citizen. They're mounting cases against world dignitaries. They're mounting cases against anyone that they can wiretap and spy on. and who knows why, but they want to mount a case against you so that they can use it if you're ever finding yourself unruly or questioning the motives of big government. This is where it gets frightening. And Rick, thank you so much for statistics tonight. Well, yes.
Clyde?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you one other thing. You know who's going to get my vote in the next election?
Who?
The person who campaigns saying they would give a full pardon to Edward Snowden.
That's remarkable.
And he is a patriot.
Well, Rick, thank you so much for your call tonight. Such a great addition to this program, giving us that statistical information about those things, the information that will be gathered there in that Utah facility. That's right. It's enough to make a case against you. The NSA's making their list. The enemy's list. It's not red state. It's not blue state. It's the state versus you. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More with James Corbett and your calls coming up on Ground Zero. James Corbett's my guest tonight on Ground Zero from the Corbett Report. We'll go now to Devin calling in from Utah, who lives near the NSA Center. What you got for us, Devin?
So in August, we actually had a warning go out to all of our homes to say that any excess water, any sprinkler systems, any hoses that are running more than once a week, you'll be fined. It's like a $1,000 fine for every time they catch it. Reason for that, we actually found out through Lehigh Public Works, is that they turned the NSA building system on, and it drained 126 million gallons of water from Lehigh's supply. So the NSA building is definitely up and running and working. There's no doubt about it. They also told us that they would employ 10,000 people. That's the biggest reason why Utah took on the project. The downfall with that is it really only employed 200 people, and they all came from out of state. So that was a lie. The other point I was wanting to talk about is, isn't this thing with Snowden kind of a front? Like, America, we're not that dumb. Like, I don't care how this guy got it or how he could have, but we're not that dumb.
So are you basically asking why is it that Snowden said the obvious and now we're making it sound like he's given this revelation? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because, like, the whole thing with Obama standing next to this crazy lunatic seeing angels and stuff. People are like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Not really. The government already knew about it. They just didn't care because they needed another media story.
James,
people like puckering.
What do you say to that, James, about how Snowden didn't really give us anything new, no new information?
You know, I'm sympathetic to that point of view because I've been talking about the Panopticon and the NSA for years and years and years at my website. At any rate, it has at least introduced the NSA to a lot of the public that we're not paying attention. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point. Maybe it's just conditioning so everyone will accept it. But for those who don't want to accept it and are upset about this, offnow.org is the website of that nullification thing I was talking about, trying to turn the water off on the NSA data center. So if people are concerned, let's see if we can actually do something about it.
Thank you, Devin, for the call. James, I know that we're getting ready to wrap up this hour, and I know that you need to go. I just want to get your final thoughts on 2014, what you see coming. I mean, it doesn't take remote viewing or a psychic to figure this out. I think that we're going to be, we're going to be not surprised to find out that we do have this list. This list is being compiled as we speak. What say you?
Well, you're exactly right. I don't have the crystal ball. I don't pretend to be able to see events, but I can see trends, and I know what is developing, and I think you've hit the nail on the head tonight. I think there really is this list that they're developing, and as you said, they've got the goods on everyone. They can dig it up whenever they need it and use it whenever they want. So it is the ultimate power. People who want to see this, who need to see it in some sort of story, fictional form, well, it was presented to you in Hollywood over a decade ago. It was Enemy of the State, starring Will Smith, and there you go, an entertaining little action flick that shows you exactly what this means, and for anyone who ever becomes an enemy of the state, exactly how they'll hunt you down and make you acquiesce electronically. And that's the nightmare that we're facing, and unless we can do something about it.
I know you have a subscription on your website. How do we subscribe to your work? Because you're remarkable. How do we do it?
Well, all of my work is completely freely available for download. Just go to CorbettReport.com, take a look through the archives. It's all completely free. If you like what I'm doing, you can subscribe to my newsletter or buy my DVDs from the website. And I have an appointment in a few hours with your producer there behind the scenes, James Evan Pilato. We're going to be recording our year-end New World next week. In the next few hours, it'll be out tomorrow morning. So you can find out about that, again, on CorbettReport.com.
Fantastic. Jump to it. James Corbett's remarkable. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be on our program. And you've made this a remarkable revelation for everybody, and I'm glad that you were a part of it. Thank you so much for being on the program.
I appreciate it, Clyde, anytime.
Have a great night. James Corbett from the Corbett Report. CorbettReport.com. That's CorbettReport.com. You'll be able to check out my producer, James Evan Pilato, teaming up with him, New World next week. Great reports, great information. I swear by it. I think it's remarkable. Great show tonight, too. Keep it up. 888-673-3700 as we continue Discovery together right here on Ground Zero.